This show holds a very dear place in my heart.
The Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
I'm wearing pants. Yeah.
And Sherry.
Look at all the things you've managed to do for yourself.
And now, broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome, welcome. A great big bear hug from all of us here at the Bob and Sherry Show with Lamar and Doc and Max, and we're all here.
You're giving bear hugs?
Every once in a while.
When did this start that you're giving hugs? When did this?
I didn't say that I was.
When he wasn't in the room with us. Yeah, yeah, when he didn't have to actually
say it. I had to say something.
Thank you. Yeah. It needed to be
said. Sometimes I'm just the facilitator of things.
I see.
You know, I like to
just not the hugger.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll see something either in the newspaper, you know, or online, a post, and I look at it and I go, well, that can't be. And here's what somebody posted. And I've asked about this, and evidently it is true. Women were not even allowed to have a credit card in their own name until somebody guessed the year.
In this country?
It was 1970, maybe 77, 78, something like that.
I think 74? It was 62.
No, it's the
70s. Lamar, do you have any idea? When were women allowed to have a credit card in their own name?
1970.
1974. So Sherry actually hit it after a couple of guesses.
That's hard to believe.
1974.
Do you know how I know? Because when I was a little girl, I went to Sears with my grandma in black hair. And my pup had been killed in a few years earlier. And she was a widow. And she had her Sears credit card. She was a loyal Sears customer. And of course, it was in her husband's name. And I went to the Sears with her. And she got what she came to buy. And I'm waiting at the cash register with her. And the employee declined to sell her the items. Told her, this is not your credit card. You don't have credit with Sears. And cut her credit card in half with a pair of scissors. And we walked out of that store and we sat next. This was at a mall. And we sat next to a fountain while my grandmother sobbed in humiliation, fear over what was going to happen to her. She's a widow. And they just cut her credit card up. And Sears was where she never missed a payment. Sears was where she would buy clothes and housewares and a washing machine that, honest to God, could last 1,000 years. So if you think that didn't radicalize tiny me, you think again, because it did.
I bet. So let me lighten it a little. That is a shocking story, by the way. Here's the exact quote on this post. Women were not even allowed to have a credit card in their own name until 1974. So it's actually super empowering to me to have 3 maxed out credit cards right now. So keeping a good sense of humor about it. I mean, that is such a shocking thing. That is such a shocking thing. I just can't imagine having to have my wife come over to me and say, listen, I'm going to go out and pick up some tires for the car. Can you come along with me so that I can use the credit card? Are you kidding me? And women were working. The women's movement was kicking off in full steam back there. There were lots of women working for a living then.
Bank accounts came before credit, but not that much before credit. That a woman could have a bank account in her own name. Yeah, that wasn't all that long ago. And it's disgraceful. It's disgraceful.
Well, it is.
But I will remember, I had never seen my grandmother, who was a joyful person, right? And a problem solver. Like, we were poor, you know, but you'd never have known we were poor. My grandmother could do wonders with, like, next to nothing. And she was only poor because she was widowed and living on Social Security and my pup's Navy pension. And it was tough, right? To see her treat it so callously, to see her humiliate it like that, man.
I am so glad I brought up, to start the show, a crying grandmother story.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about an impression that got made? You want to talk about?
I bet, yeah.
There are two vivid childhood memories for me that made an impression. That one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I will never be dependent on somebody else for money. And here's the second one. My father, on one of his meth binges, had put a bunch of Black Hat firecrackers in his sock drawer. And he had a lit Pall Mall cigarette hanging in his mouth. And he's rumming around in his sock drawer. And he bent his head down. And he caught the Black Cats on fire. And they started going off. And he was like, my eyes, I'm blind. And we had to take him to the emergency room. And I learned that day that you shouldn't store firecrackers in your sock drawer. So those are two Something important life lessons I picked up early.
Do you know what mine was? I want to talk about this sometime on the show today.
Let's do that next.
I've got one too. All right, and then morons in the news. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
We're teaming up with Dr. Marty's Pet Food, and you could win up to $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend by uploading a picture of your dog at bobandsherry.com. You can also visit drmartypets.com/bob and save up to 54% off this amazing dog food with your first order. Sherry was involved in. She's at Sears. She's a little tiny girl. And her grandmother goes to use the Sears charge card. It's in her
dead husband's name,
recently deceased. You couldn't have a credit card in your own name back then as a woman. And they turn it down and they cut it up. And so that card is gone. Who knows how she's going to be able to get it back? And she breaks down weeping in the outside of the mall. And it's something that really stuck with Sherry. And what brings my memory back was when Sherry said, I was never going to be that poor. I'm sitting there. I've talked ad nauseum about my father's restaurant that went belly up and it changed our lives for the negative. So the family goes bankrupt, right? And all I knew was my father had his money in the restaurant, but that started to run out. And I guess he had to get a loan from somebody. He couldn't get it from the bank. He got a loan from some guy who lived near New York City, but in the state of Connecticut, evidently. And the loan was for $5,000. And I think it was to keep us going. And so we're living in this rental house, and it's tiny. There's a small living room, really not much more than a galley kitchen, a little area to live, a bedroom and a half a bedroom my brother and I slept in. That was it, one bathroom. Very tiny house. And so I'm back in my little bedroom there, and there's a ring on the door. And I kind of peek my head out, and my mother lets this kind of scary looking, but not real scary, a business sort of guy, overweight, probably in his 60s. And he has just shown up at our doorstep. And this is the guy that my father borrowed the $5,000 from. So I am around the corner and I'm just kind of watching this because, you know, there's somebody in our house. There was never anybody coming to our house. It was like when he went broke, the Berlin Wall went up. The guy just sits right down on the couch. And my father is quiet and polite. And my mother is tapping her foot in the dining area. And the guy says, well, I'm going to need my money, Bob. And I'm going, what is this? And my father says, well, it's been a very hard time. And the guy interrupts my father and says, well, I hear that you take your family out for dinner quite often. Quite often, you take your family out to dinner. And my father said, no, we don't do that. Well, I've had people say that they saw you over at a restaurant called the Rose Garden. And my father said, well, it's a pizza restaurant. It's, you know, just a few dollars. Well, that's a few dollars that comes out of my $5,000. What are we going to do about this, Bob? Taking your family out as, I think I was about 12 years old.
I'm going to throw hands. I cannot believe the condescending humiliation.
Yeah.
Oh,
He was humiliating my father. And I was 12 years old, and I was not a big kid. It was everything that I had not to go out there and hit the guy, because it's a 12-year-old brain, yell at the guy. The only thing that stopped me from doing that was I didn't know how my father would react. You know the scene in The Sopranos where there's a contract on Tony's life by his uncle floating around? Anthony Jr., Tony's son, hears about it, finds a gun in the house, and he's like 15, and goes after to kill his uncle. And thank God, for him, he stopped. I had that kind of anger that my father, who was not an easy guy to get along with, that my father was being humiliated like that. And I don't know what happened, and I never asked because I didn't want to make him feel worse that his son, observed all of this. Nobody knew that I was there. But eventually the guy left, and there was nothing but silence in the house. Nothing but silence. And I don't know if the guy got paid or if my old man walked on that thing, but I, at that moment, subconsciously, I think I said to myself, don't you ever let yourself be in that position where you owe some guy money like that. Don't ever, ever let it happen. And in some ways, it has spurred me on, because Sherry and I have worked in some pretty crazy situations where we wanted to walk, but we didn't because we needed the paycheck.
There's two things. Number one, I feel for your dad. What a horrible moment for him.
Yeah,
but number two, This is the kind of story that sits with a kid and changes his life in a way that makes sure that he can avoid that type of thing. We've all got those kind of stories, and they're not fun stories, but right. They're impactful stories, and that's one of those stories, I think.
Yeah, you have exactly read it right. That's exactly what happened to me. All right, morons in the news straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With morons in the news.
Lincoln, Nebraska police are searching for the person in a Tigger costume who broke into the Generation V vape shop. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, he bounced in there and threw a concrete block through the window before hopping through the window. He literally, and they have it on tape, he's got a Tigger costume on, and he hopped through the window. He then ran around the store, and he stole about $500 worth of items off the shelves. How much money could be in a vape store? Let's just be honest, folks. It can't be worth going to jail for. Police say if you know somebody with a Tigger costume, and I tell you, I know that Owl probably has some pretty good ideas about who this is.
Who did this?
Yeah, that's right. call Crime Stoppers.
Well, a knife-wielding New York City bandits, they steal some Bounty paper towel. They ripped off an obscure amount of Bounty paper towels from an Upper East Side CVS. But they didn't get far before their paper-thin scheme went down the tubes. They got picked up in a quicker picker upper heist. The duo ambled in. The two guys ambled into a drugstore, and they pulled 20 packs of name-brand paper products worth more than $200 off the shelves. When a 20-year-old male worker demanded they leave the store, one of them threatened him with a knife. They fled the store with bulky paper towel packs, total of $227 worth, and headed towards the number 6 train station. The NYPD has not officially confirmed any arrests by the afternoon, but photos taken by a Post photographer show police restraining a man with several packs of stolen Bounty paper towels at his side. Law enforcement sources said the knife-wielding thief is not in custody, but the homeless accomplice was arrested. Listen, if you can't catch guys running with that much paper towel, I don't know who you can catch.
That's true. I mean, really. On a subway.
Well, you know, we began with a guy in a Tigger suit robbing a vape store. And by the way, is there anything that's not even a little bit surprising about a guy in a Tigger suit robbing a vape store? So we started with kitty cats. Let's end with them. It's March Meowness in the Worcester, Massachusetts community. The Worcester Public Library says it's March Meowness. And if you have some overdue fines at the library, you don't have to give us money. You can submit a photo of a cat, or you can draw a picture of a cat, and we will accept that as payment for your library fines. It can be a tiger. It can be a lion. It can be a house cat. It can be in pencil. It can be in crayon. It can be from your Instagram. And they decided they were going to do March Meowness when they noticed that some of their youngest library card holders had racked up really big fines, mostly because of COVID, when they were doing school at home and, you know, there you go. Now, they said that during the first 5 days of March Meowness, more than 400 people stepped up with cat pictures and they were able to clear their accounts. And they said, we also want to welcome honorary cats, meaning you may show us a picture or a drawing of a dog, a raccoon, an orca, a capybara, or any other animal that feels like a cat in your heart. Bob, you know the Worcester area well. This is the best story.
The best story to come out of Worcester in my experience of being in Worcester. Yes, without a doubt.
When I first saw this, I was like, this is not the Worcester Bob has told me about. This is whimsical Worcester. Of March Meowness fame. So there you go. We'll get those. We'll get the moron of the day and the March Meowness posted on up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Coming up, we have comedian Josh Sneed talking about Long John Silver's. We have things Bob didn't know. And we have a game that they used to play where the losers were sacrificed. Man, that makes you want to practice your pickleball just a little bit harder. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store. Wish you were here. To find great deals down every aisle. Wish you were here. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, nightshirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime.
Time of a lifetime.
The Bob and Sherry store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I want to say a quick hello to Jen Benfield and her husband. These folks are big Bob and Sherry listeners. I met them in person, and she just posted on Facebook, this is surely justified. Only in Florida do you find a woman driving an F-150 with a grown man locked in a dog crate in the bed of the truck. And there is a picture with two troopers, and the guy is sitting in the dog crate. I don't know what happened, but that's Florida, Sherry.
He was a bad boy, clearly.
He was a very bad boy.
Maybe he kept getting out of the yard. You don't know.
Could be, yeah.
So a raccoon walks into a McDonald's in Toronto, and somebody whips out their phone, rolls video, and we have it. First, the video, the little raccoon is wandering around the McDonald's, and the customers, of course, are surprised because that's not something you see every day. The raccoon then comes up to the guy who's rolling video and checks out his shoes. Then the raccoon checks out the jacket on the seat next to the guy, which has a faux fur liner in its hood. So the raccoon's like, you wear my people, I see. The raccoon continues wandering through the McDonald's, tries to evade an employee that's trying to swat it toward the door with a broom. Then the McDonald's workers offered the trash panda some chicken nuggets, and the raccoon refused them. We're all going to need to sit with that for a second.
I know.
An animal whose nickname is Trash Panda was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. That's
right. Is this like chicken, or is this like chopped up chicken form? Yeah. Do you have strips? And then the McDonald's employees had to say, yeah, man, no, for some reason we stopped carrying those buttermilk strips. And then the Trash Panda was like, Well, no hard feelings, my bro, but I'm not eating your chicken nuggets.
Word is
one.
Out.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Josh Sneed.
This lady in Gatlinburg, I don't know how else to describe. She looked like someone who might frequent a Long John Silver's / Kentucky Fried Chicken, like a 2-in-1 fast food restaurant. I don't know if you guys ever go to those, but there's good people watching in there, too. So any of them. I don't care what the combo is. For some reason, the average redneck brain can't seem to process that there are two businesses operating behind one counter and sharing the menu above. And the first time they see it, it just catches them off guard. They're like, okay, could I get a... Okay, do I need to be at this register if I want chicken? Is this like a food court or something? It's the same company. I can order off of both of them. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm getting a family meal deal. I get two sides. Could I get a side from this side and then a side from that side? Like, if I could hurry up and decide, could I go from side to side for my sides? I can. I want to try that. Okay. Well, extra biscuits. I mean, I knew that before I came in here. And what does Long John Silver's have? Hush puppies. What? Can I do that? Two breads? Oh, yeah. Hook it up. I know it sounds like I'm really exaggerating for the sake of stand-up comedy, but it's not as much as you think. Okay. I promise, if you go to any 2-in-1 fast food restaurant and just grab a seat close to the register, just within earshot, within 5 minutes, you'll hear some trucker spit out a sentence that has never been formed in the history of words because he's buckling under the pressure of the line that's now formed behind him. He's like, oh, God, I'm sorry, you guys. I hadn't even thought about tacos, and then I come in here, and boom, right there they are next to the pizza. But if you can make wherever you go half of it Long John Silver's, like, that's where you're going to have the best time. All right. At any Long John Silver's, you will hear a grown man ask for extra crumbs, which is a new low for our society and really racist humans. Now, if I've completely lost you, Long John Silver's, it's a fast food seafood restaurant. And what they do is they take chicken and fish and they dip it in their batter and then they put it in the deep fryer. And when they flip it from the deep fryer, little pieces of that batter break off. And then a pile of those little pieces form. And then people go, hey, can I get a scoop of the thing that, right there, I want some of that stuff, like the garbage on the bottom. I want some of it, like, put some of that into my treasure chest. They get all, and I was like, did that guy just ask for more crumbs? Like, I thought I might have misheard, right? She pushes a button on the register. Boop, crumbs, 10 cents. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. How often does this happen? Okay? Seriously. Like, I thought I could be witnessing the first time in the history of Long John Silver's where some guy was like, listen, this is gonna sound a little crazy, but I'm a little short on cash, and I have a long drive ahead of me. Could you maybe just put some of that stuff into a cup? I could snack on it while I'm on the road. I don't know. No, people. It happens so much that it has been programmed into the register. And if that's the case, right? If whatever you call that stuff has its own button, which I'm pretty sure we can all agree was not in the original business plan. That tells me that there was a day somewhere that it went down, right? And as a professional people watcher, I'm just mad I wasn't there to see it. You know, because I just picture some toothless manager storming out of the back. Hey, somebody's going to have to start paying for these crunchies, all right? I can't be giving this stuff away all day if everybody's going to ask for it. We got to figure something out. Let's just be honest. Y'all love free stuff. That's what it is, ain't it? Yeah, it is. That's why we had to get rid of our tartar sauce pump and switch to packets, put them behind the counter, limit 2 per customer, because y'all were pumping it right into your boats. Are you kidding me? Nobody needs that much tartar sauce. And I'm sick of dealing with it. And he tries to slam the door, but it's that metal kitchen door, right? So just... Ten minutes later, no one's speaking because you can still hear him in the back, ticked off. I ain't selling down, Tommy. I'm sick of this. You pay me enough to put up with this. So, man, my hand's shaking. I'm supposed to bowl tonight. Now what? I'm done. Well, I don't care if I said it before. I mean it this time. You watch. As soon as I can afford that lift kit and them Luke Bryan tickets, you ain't never going to see me again. I'm out. Well, of course I'm going. Florida, Georgia line's open, and I ain't going to miss that. They're the only dudes that can settle me down right now. You do that for me? All right, you take the Nelly part. You make me want to roll my wings.
That's Josh Sneed.
Funny. Listen. I have never eaten Long John Silver's, and I didn't say, give me extra crunchy.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Oh, and they don't even blink. It's a thing, really?
Yes.
I said, give me extra crunchies. And they go, no problem. Oh, yeah. They covered up with the crunchy thing.
Lamar, why am I not even
a little bit shocked to know that you knew all about the extra crunchies at Long John Silver's?
Let me say this. I don't think it's that funny, okay? It's just not that funny.
Yes, it is.
BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask everybody to not call me bougie or something like that when I say I have never had a dinner at Long John Silver's. It just hasn't happened for me, okay? I've eaten a lot of fast food. I have not gone to Long John's.
They've been in business a long time, Bob. They've been in business a long time. You've had plenty of opportunity. You've had plenty of opportunity. Well, I'm sure you pass one every day.
It hasn't happened. And we just had Josh Sneed on, the comedian, who was saying that if you go to Long John Silver's, they have a thing called crumblies. Is that what they call
crumbs.
Them? Crumblies?
Crumbs.
Crumbs.
And crumbs are, it's the breaded part of the fish or chicken that is broken off in the fryer lighter, and they somehow scoop it up and sell it. And John Sneed did a very funny thing about the first manager who came up with the idea. He was ticked off with people getting it for free. And I thought, you know, maybe that happens. It's kind of the idea that somebody's buying, you know, stuff that's just floating around on the top of a fryer lighter. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's everywhere. Well, our very own Lamar said, oh, yeah. And I always ask for extra.
Oh my gosh.
Can you
now listen? I haven't been in a while. But for years, I went to Long John Silver's. I never less than once a week. And they didn't charge for them. You ordered, I'd get the three-piece fish and more, and I'd say, give me extra crunchies. And they would give me my plate, and they would put a bunch of those crunchy crumbs on the top of it, and they were awesome. They're just awesome. You can get them in a tray on the side. You get crunchies on the side. I say, give me the crunchies on the side. They put crunchies
and
on the side.
And it's just like microscopic pieces of fish
that are coated. No.
It's just crumbs.
Fish involved. It's nothing but crumbs. All right, you know how you get fried chicken? Let me help you here, Bob. You've eaten fried chicken, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know how that batter is really crispy on fried chicken? But there's no chicken in it. It's that batter.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. This is the fish batter. And I mean, they're from the size of from a dime up to a quarter. I mean, that size. And they're just crunchy. You put them in your mouth and chew them, and they're awesome. I mean, they're awesome.
The crunchies came off the fish or the chicken when they were preparing it to go in a bag or whatever. And then they save it. They save it on the side.
Well, some of it falls off when you put it in the fryer, and everything, all of that falls off, it still comes to the top, just like everything else. And they
it's in the
it
basket,
the,
yeah.
It's in the
yeah,
and it's 10 cents. It's in.
Well,
they charge
no,
for it.
Evidently, they started charging for it. They didn't charge for it. As long as I've been to Long John Silver's, they didn't charge for it. There's only two
the
things to go
thing?
To Long John Silver's for: is their coleslaw and their crunchies. The rest of it's just details. The rest of it is details. I'm telling you.
I have never made a dining choice based on crumbs and coleslaw. If you want to call me bougie, go right ahead and call me bougie. Well, what is the best entree at Long John Silver's?
Oh, the fish. I'm not that. Listen. Long John Silver's, if you're getting chicken at Long John Silver's, you've pulled into the wrong place, okay? Chicken is not shouldn't even be there. But not everybody eats fish, so they will offer chicken. But the three-piece fish and more, their hush puppies are very, very good. Yes, yes.
What kind of fish?
Lamar, I
what
do,
kind of fish is it?
Cod.
It's
cod.
Yeah, it's white. It's white fish.
White it's white,
white fish.
Yes.
So, Lamar, I have to, one place I think that Bob makes a really strong point is it's hard to imagine like getting a bank to finance a restaurant idea based on fryolator crumbs and coleslaw, but clearly it's working for Long John Silver's. It's just surprising. Yeah.
Listen, as I say this, Bob, and Bob, you know me, okay? Mm-hmm. Just, you know me. I know what food is. I know it from the highest to the basic. Okay. Let's don't make a mistake here and thinking I've never been in a real restaurant. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But this, they got good. It's a quick place to, you can't get fried fish in the middle of the day for lunch anywhere. It's very hard. It's very hard, but you can go in there. It's fast food fried fish and it's good. And the crunchies are awesome. I tell you this.
Do you have a hankering for fried fish in the middle of the day often? That has never crossed my mind.
I love fish. I love fried fish. Yes. It's excellent. You don't like fried fish?
No, I don't.
Well,
I like boiled fish.
Okay, bougie Bob. You don't need to go to Long John Silver's if you don't like fried fish.
Does Long John offer broiled fish, which seems a little healthier? Does the captain offer that?
Bob, I can't believe you.
God, let me go ahead and say this. Broiled crunchies ain't good. Fried crunchies, they're good, okay? That's what you want. It's the fried crunchies.
Noted. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Thank you. Very nice to be here. Let's start out with this one. Nobody really knows for sure who started manufacturing underwear in the United States. Some claim it was the Union Underwear Company in Indiana. Others say it was BVD. Still others say that the first underwear in the United States was imported from Stanfields in Nova Scotia, Canada. Although there is still debate about who manufactured underwear first in the United States, there is no debate about the product itself. Listen to this. Underwear was made of wool, and the itching could drive a person out of his or her mind. Relief came when the garment was taken off for the night. It was not until the 1920s that the process of carbonizing wool to remove burrs created a softer fabric. Eventually, cotton became the industry standard. Mary, I just took my drawers off, but the wool underwear, there is a burr, and I can't get at it. Can you come in here, honey, and help me out? Can you imagine wool underwear? Scratchy wool underwear walking around all day? I have no idea, though, those people. And that's not that long ago. That was like, 100 years ago, people were living like that. Being an early pope could be a wild ride. Pope Stephen VI had his predecessor, Pope Formosus. Oh, man, if I were pope, that would be the name I would want.
Formosus.
I mean, there's something that's powerful about that. Anyway, he did not like Pope Formosus. So this pope said, dig up his remains and put the corpse of Formosus on trial. A deacon was appointed to answer for the deceased pontiff. The corpse was found guilty, stripped of his sacred vestments, deprived of three fingers, the blessing fingers, clad in the garb of a layman, and buried again. Pope Stephen VI thought about it for a few days, and he was still pissed off at Formosus. So he had Formosus dug up again and thrown in the Tiber River. I don't know what Formosus did, but boy, oh boy, it angered the next pope. The scandal ended when Stephans was imprisoned, where he was strangled to death. Being a pope back in that day was a rough ride, but not for all emperors. Egyptian pharaoh Pepi II despised flies so much, he would keep naked slaves smeared with honey near him in order to keep the flies away. So let me ask you, is that a good gig back then, or is that a bad gig back then?
I bet that was a good gig.
Because on the one hand, you could be the guy with the chisel that's making a pyramid, and on the other hand, you're standing near the pharaoh covered in honey with flies on you, naked.
But you could also be the guy emptying the trough of the pharaoh's waste, you know? So, yeah, I think instead of maybe carrying a block of limestone on your head up a ladder or tunneling through the pharaoh's bidet, I think standing there covered in honey is not the worst way to go.
What do you think, Lamar? Which one would you pick?
You're like a human fly strip. You ever seen
that? You are.
Like, we used to put them out in the carport. We were all sitting out there when I was a kid. You'd dangle them down, and then you don't have to worry about them because the flies. So that's what you'd be, a human fly strip.
Yeah, but you're naked with flies all over you like that. I mean, that is just, you talk about the arrogance.
You get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
Thank God the leaders of today are not arrogant people. You know, we're just so blessed in that way.
We're so fortunate.
Yeah. And finally, in things Bob didn't know, in 1722, readers of The Current, which was a paper published in Boston, were captivated by letters sent in by a widow with a keen wit and a gift for satire. She called herself Mrs. Silence Dugood. In her letters, Mrs. Dugood poked fun at such institutions as Harvard University, and thereby won the hearts of many Bostonians. For months, nobody knew the identity of Mrs. Silence Dugood. And then it turned out Mrs. Dugood was actually a 16-year-old boy who worked at his brother's print shop by the name of Benjamin Franklin. At 16.
Wow.
At 16, he had those sort of verbal skills and was that funny a guy.
What was her name again? Because no one's ever addressed me as, I think, Patience Dugood. So what was
Mrs.
her name again?
Mrs. Silence Dugood.
Silence. No, it's even more. Yeah.
It's
Silence
even more.
Dugood.
Yeah. You have never been called that. And that's it. Things Bob didn't know. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay. I want to see if Sherry, as a woman, agrees with me with this story here and how I feel about it. There, if you're a June bride, a spring bride, a summer bride, you're all excited. You're going to pick out your gown and all of the other things, decisions that you have to make. Please do not get the official Barbie wedding dress from the Barbie Wedding Dress Collection. Mattel has a new collaboration that will help brides feel like Barbie. The toy maker has collaborated with bridal industry giant Azazie, I don't know who they are, Azazie, to create a wedding dress collection inspired by Barbie. The dresses feature plenty of pink, a lot of bows, ruffles, 3D flowers, lace, corsetry, and head beading. The Azazie Barbie collection includes Barbie pink as a color. Prices range from $79, ooh, that's a bargain, to $1,149. Sizes run from 0 to 30, and customers have the option to order custom sizes. Brides, listen to me. I had a few weddings. You're going to regret it. You might think that you're so cool and everybody's jaw drops, and they will when you come out, walk down the aisle dressed as Barbie. But I am telling you, 20 years from now, you're going to look really, really stupid. Agree or not agree?
I think that you will look back and regret that. Sarah Jessica Parker wore, and it was spectacular, a jet black wedding gown when she married Matthew Broderick. And it was really like, wow. I read an interview with her not all that long ago where she said, you know, it was a beautiful dress, but I kind of regret that, she said, I kind of regret that I didn't have a more traditional wedding dress. Looking back, you only get to wear that, you know, for that. It's not like you can wear a wedding dress to the grocery store. I mean, you could, I guess.
Classic. Classic is classic because of a reason. That's right. Yeah. Classic. Doesn't get old.
Yeah. I think it was it Gwen Stefani that had a pink wedding gown? You know, I just realized as I'm discussing the color of various celebrities' wedding gowns that I need help. I need the kind of help that might involve an institution. I need to get out more. Why do I even know or care what these women wore to get married in? But she had a pink wedding dress that was very Barbie. I don't know. Unless the groom is also going to bring the Kennergy and show up in a pink spangled suit and hat. I don't know.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time. Now, if you would like to call the show, we would like to talk to you. And you can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI. Or it might be even easier if you already have the Bob and Sherry app or want to grab it free at Google Play or the Apple Store to just look at the bottom center of the screen. There's a little microphone. Tap it and talk, and the app will do everything else.
Hey, Bob and Sherry and gang. I just had to share this story. My husband tends to be very pessimistic and negative. So after hearing Bob's story about not now, Nikki, I shared that with my husband. And we spent the rest of the weekend laughing so hard every time I would say, not now, Nikki. And then he would laugh. And then he would come up with another name to use. And we had such a fun, uplifting weekend, just coming up with different names. I do think it made him more aware. Anyway, thanks for the laughs, and thanks for sharing that story.
I feel so great.
Look at you.
I feel,
yeah.
I gave a couple a weekend, you know, of happiness.
A weekend on Bob.
Yeah. Usually that involves my paying for something, and that's fantastic. It didn't cost a dime. The Nikki thing is, we were talking, if you weren't around for that conversation, we were talking about, you know, how do you get rid of negative thoughts? And Mary coached me on this. She said, just pick a name and assign that to that name, the bad negative feelings, and just say, not now, Nikki. And there was a Nikki that I went to school with who is a very scary guy. And I think of him. I can see his face right now. It's a scary face. And I just go, not now, Nikki. And now the legend of Nikki is spread. You know, that kid in high school has no idea that all these years later, he is the focus of a couple laughing and having a great time because of his name.
And look at you being a helper. Because that's what Mr. Rogers told us all to be. Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers, be a helper. And look at you, that voice in your head, your little internal monologue, reaching out across the distance and helping another man be a better man.
Yeah.
You should feel pretty good today.
I do. There could be legions who are emulating Bobby.
And you are the conduit. You are the conduit.
Yeah. Legions emulating Bobby. Okay. Okay. I think we have another one for you, Lamar.
Hi, this is Bonnie from Denver, North Carolina. This is for Lamar. I heard you talking about your wife's foot pain, and I think you might have been onto something with the relaxation. Something I thought of that I've had issues with my feet in the past, and flexing your foot at night when you are sleeping rather than letting it go pointed can sometimes make the difference. So if Carla's not in a boot, you might want to suggest a boot that will keep her foot flexed while she sleeps. Give it a try and see if maybe that helps a little. Good luck with that. Hope she's feeling better soon. Bye.
I don't know that I could sleep in a boot with my foot flexed up, but yeah, I mean, Carla's in so much pain. And that, this is, man, it is just getting, hey, let's flag this as not safe for work content, Max.
Well, let me tell you, Carla's ahead of this game. She's sitting here and her leg was hurting and she says, do me a favor. I don't know if it's a help or not. She says, come and put some pressure on the bottom of my foot. So I went over there and I started sort of massaging her foot. She goes, oh my gosh. She said, this is helping. This is helping. Well, the next thing you know, I'm doing this foot thing for like a while. And if I quit doing it, it starts hurting again. She goes, no, keep doing it. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. We're going to ride this bad boy out. I'm going to be doing reflexology foot massages all day long.
And with the other hand, you're petting the dog who wants to be pet. Yes. Thank God you got two arms and hands.
Oh, yeah, she's discovered the foot thing, and you know, what you going to do?
Wow.
Sherry, you know how this works. Everybody finds a way to work this thing, and she's working this.
I do. Kevin has enjoyed having his meals brought to him on trays. I think he's upstairs right now with a hacksaw trying to take his other foot off to prolong this. coming up, you know, sports. You a big sports fan? And you think that you care about your team? You think you'd do anything for your team? Yeah, you might have to die for your team. How sports used to be. They were hardcore fans back in the day. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
You know the story of President Abraham Lincoln and his assassination at the hands of John Wilkes Booth. But did you know Honest Abe's body was sent on a two-week funeral procession? Over 1,600 miles and over 400 stops across 7 states. Things were smooth at first, but once the decay started to set in, his corpse was, quote, not a pleasant sight.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
We're sending teachers and a guest to enjoy a 3-day, 2-night vacation at Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Nominated teacher doing great things in and out of the classroom at bobandsherry.com to win this trip from Visit Florida.
In our lives, we have landed jobs where people who knew us, in particular our parents, would say, oh, you got that job. Yeah, hold on to that. Don't do anything wrong with that. Yeah, they hired you. And we,
what's
we
the got mindset? Into the
and listen to this. I'd forgotten about this. Sherry and I and Lamar, we were making an appearance in the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. Just a wonderful place. And we're shaking hands. Yeah. And everybody's just so nice. Just so nice. It's one of the places where our career started to take off. And a woman came up to Lamar. Can you tell the folks what she said to you?
Yeah, yeah. We're sitting there, we're meeting everybody, and everybody's got questions and all this kind of stuff. So this woman's got her son with her. And she looks at me and she goes, have you got any advice for my son? Because he's not doing well in school, and I don't see that getting any better. And I'm thinking, you know, surely he can do what you do. Can you give him – basically what she's saying is my son is never going to amount to anything. He's not doing good in school. He's not too bright. So here you are. I mean, give him some advice. Of course, now, I'll be honest with you. If y'all look at the picture, and I remember exactly where we were, somebody before them had brought me a cap that was like the Goofy cap from the Disney World. So you got Goofy's face on the brim and the big ears. Yeah. So honestly, I sort of have to give it to her because I didn't look like I was a Rhodes Scholar. I'll be the first to say that. But basically she said, my son has no hope of doing anything that takes any kind of intelligence. Can you tell him how you got to be where you are?
So oh God, she had I remember no, this. It was terrible.
She had no idea that you'd run businesses, you were managing a Budweiser facility, and you were doing this. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, here's my version of this. I got hired by a radio station, you know, and then they brought me up from nights and gave me morning drive. And I was still pretty young doing it. And then along came this possibility to host a prime access 5-day-a-week television show that would be carried, if I did well on some of my reports, on 100 TV stations. And I didn't think I was going to get it, but I got it. And I left. I called my father and I said, hey, I know you can hear me on the radio, but not for much longer because I'm going over to television. And there was a pause and he went, oh, I think you gotta think about that, Bobby. they gave you that job, and then they gave you like a promotion, right? You're in a better time slot. You make a little more money. Yeah, that's something. You know, those TV shows, they come and go, but radio's around, and they gave you a job there. And I went, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I'm going with it anyway, because I was bored at the time. I did that that television. I did that, when I think back on it, 10 years. He thought I was going to be on that 10 weeks. And then they were going to discover what a bumbling fool I was. And they'd say, get him off the TV. How did he get on the TV? And it just occurred to me, I got my first full-time job in radio when I was 19 years old, while I was in college, full-time doing both. I have never been unemployed one day in my entire life.
That's impressive. You should be proud of that.
I am proud of that.
Especially in this business.
In this business, where people say, if you haven't been fired, you work in radio, it's coming. And it never did. It never did.
Well, my father never paid any attention to my my job stuff. But he did tell me when I was like, I don't know, maybe 17, that I needed to dial it down because men don't like smart women. And that I would never be able to keep a husband. And I just hope, wherever he is today, he's looking at husband number 3 and thinking, well, I was wrong about that.
Oh, you showed him. Oh, yeah.
I showed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Good for you. Walk with some pride there, lady.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You got one.
It's, well, I got three. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
So I've been reading about you guys, like what ancient humans did for fun, because fun is as old as humanity. Like, people have never, we are not a species that's designed to work. We're a species that's designed to play and to have leisure and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So what did early human beings do for fun? Well, the earliest musical instrument that we can find is 42,000 years old, and it was a flute made out of a bone, which tells you about like how powerful music is to humanity.
That and we it was were played like, by Keith Richards.
Yeah, because he's been around. The people were like, oh, look at that bone. I wonder if I can. Oh, look, if you blow in it, it makes a sound. And so they carved it into a bone flute. But what really got me is sports have been around a very, very long time. In fact, almost every single human culture going back to the very beginning had some version of sports, some sort of a game. But I'll tell you what. Ancient humans make modern humans look like a bunch of babies, because back in the day when they played sports, they played for keeps. So in like the pre-Columbian cultures, like your Mayans and your Aztecs, you know, here in this part of the world, they played a game that was similar to racquetball, and it was called tlachli. And everybody could play it. Kids could play it. Old people could play it. Everybody played tlachli. It was really popular. But when you played the game in a formal setting, like an official team versus, you know, just hitting the ball back and forth with your dad, whoever lost was ritualistically sacrificed. Like, you literally played to the death.
Wow. Wow. It's almost like the Red Sox versus the Yankees. That's serious.
Yeah. You think about that. Like, you would not necessarily want to be tapped in the draft to be part of the Kings Tlaxcala team. Because if you didn't win, you was going to get killed. Now,
I'm going up as cheerleader.
Let's go. Like, board games have been around for forever. The oldest board game that's ever been found dates back to 3,000 years before Christ. Wow. Like, that's outrageous. 3,000 years BCE for the first board game. The Egyptians invented what we would call cribbage. The first version of chess came out right around that same time in India. But nobody could beat the good time that the nobility in Assyria had. In their spare time, they would get into their chariots, which were pulled by horses, and they would get those horses galloping and galloping and galloping, and they would try to spear lions from the chariots.
Wow. Well,
yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Did you? Yeah. No. You sure didn't. Yeah. Now let's go to ancient Rome, where their idea of fun is like either gross or barbaric. Like, you've heard about the Roman feasts where they would just eat, and then when they got real full, they would go to the vomitorium and barf so that they could eat some more. That's real. That's a thing they actually did. I mean, you want to... Yeah. Hey, Lamar.
Our first models. Mm-hmm.
Lamar, as much as you enjoy a party and a buffet, I don't see you here, okay? And then, of course, there's the gladiatorial combat. Now, a lot of what the gladiators fought were animals. But after animals were no longer quite as exciting, that's when they brought in people. But it started off with just animals. So if you think that today it's a dog-eat-dog world, and it is, be glad that if you lose a pickleball match, you're not ritualistically slaughtered in front of the entire Del Webb community, okay? Like, because that used to happen to people.
Yeah, but you don't get invited to the get-together on Friday nights if you stink at it.
Oh,
that's
so
serious,
bad.
Those. You know what was really an interesting quote that I read? President Dwight Eisenhower, who, of course, was the Allied Supreme Commander in World War II, when he went to West Point, and I don't know what sport he played. I'm sure he played baseball or soccer, not soccer, or football or something. He said, the reason we play sports is to train young men for war. That is the main reason.
And in the ancient
because you
times,
have to
you
work as
that.
A unit. Yeah, you have to work as a unit. You have to, have a battle plan to win in a sport. You have to be able to react quickly. I could see how that was true. Somewhere along the line, that was the main purpose.
Well, in the very, very ancient times, that all the games were war games. And I mean, what other reason is there for you lost the Tlaxcala match and now we will throw you into a volcano? Like, what? Of course, that was all war. So creepy. All right, we're going to get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Still to come on the show, a TV star's will disinherits his children, except nobody thought he had any. That's coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I never win anything. I'm just one of those guys, you know, I just don't get lucky winning or selling anything. But listen to what happened to me. Here's the news item. Trader Joe's shoppers know that new items come and go all the time. And some of them are in such high demand, they're sold out when you go in. The latest product to go viral at Trader Joe's, it's flying off the shelves, is a mini tote bag that is so popular, they're reselling for hundreds of dollars online. It's really canvassy looking, it's pretty good size, and it has the Trader Joe's logo with the, you know, little palm tree thing. It's very cool, and it sells for $2.99 in stores because you shop with it, right? Customers are snapping them up so quickly, it's hard to find them in stock. So people are selling them on eBay for insanely high prices, including the red bag. There are four colors. The red bag that is listed for $280. and a set of four colors is getting $500 online. It's being compared to the demand for Stanley tumblers. So listen to what happened. I was out of town, and I was going by a Trader Joe's, and my wife is tracking me on her phone, and she calls me, and she says, "You're near a Trader Joe's." I went, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah, you just need to go another half mile. You can go in there, and I need you to get me this kind of nuts or coffee or whatever it was, chips, something that she knows, because we don't have one that is near us." And I went, "Okay." So I went in, and I did not have a shopping bag. So I said, "This is a cool-looking shopping bag. I'm going to buy this for $2.99. That's a pretty good deal." Well, guess which one it was? The red one. I paid $2.99, and it's selling online on eBay for $280. What do you think about that, Sherry Lynch? What do
Who
you
needs
think
Beanie Babies? That? You're set for life.
Yes, not for life, but that's a pretty good hit for me. Now,
oh yeah. Well, only if you go ahead and resell it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how to do that?
I'm sure I do. How hard could that be?
How hard? See. Yeah.
When do I see Allie? Oh yeah. Lucky me. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Charlene, hi.
How are you?
Doing fine. You doing all right?
Oh, just fine. Thank you very much. Yeah, just fine. Give me a moment to collect my thoughts here, Charlene. My partner just said something to me that I think was good.
It was.
Aren't you glad you gave up smoking? Based on all...
Because you can't... How many disgusting habits do you want to have?
That's where I was. How many disgusting habits can a man have? It's good that you gave up one of them.
That was the worst one. And you gave up the worst one. That was a sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, Charlene, now it's over to you. You've been married 5 times.
Yeah.
Where did you
good
meet?
Good for you.
Where did you meet these 5 husbands?
Okay, the first 4 was met in a bar.
Okay.
Okay, and I didn't like them after they sobered up. They were really obnoxious. And it didn't work. The last husband I've got, I met him at a sale barn, and we're still married today.
You met him where?
A sale barn.
A sale barn?
Auction barn, rather.
An auction barn.
Okay. I have been to a sale barn.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much you get? How much you pay for him?
I can't tell you that.
It was late in the evening. He was part of a box lot.
Yeah, right. Oh, look what I got. A safe and a husband. So,
mismatched China. It was a good deal.
Charlene, you were okay with the first 4 as long as they, you know, were drinking a lot because they were a lot of fun. But as soon as they sobered up, they became kind of a downer or what?
They just didn't act right. They were better drunk than they were sober.
Wow.
What does that say about a man?
Nothing good.
No, sir. Mm.
So they were kind of just mean when they were straight, huh?
How long did those marriages last, on average?
Oh, the first one lasted about 3 years. The second one lasted 6 months. The third one lasted 1.5 years. And the fourth one lasted about 7 years.
Okay. And how about the one you bought at the sale barn? How long's that been going strong?
I've had him for 15 years.
See?
Right. Very good.
So when you heard these statistics about meeting in bars, you didn't have any argument with that at all, did you?
No, it's true. I do believe it's true.
Hey, Charlene, let's go as fast as you can. Name the 5 husbands and their birth dates.
I can name them, but their birthdays, I can't tell you.
Okay, name them and...
Oh, I've got an idea. Name them and tell us real quickly the best thing about each one.
Okay, Rick, the best thing about him, he had a really good personality.
Okay, that's number 1.
Donnie...
Who? What was his name?
Arnie.
There ain't nothing good about Donnie.
There was nothing good
Donnie.
About Donnie?
Nothing good about Donnie?
Nothing good about Donnie.
That sounds like the title of a country music song.
There's nothing good about Donnie.
The Dixie Chicks.
Or a movie.
Yeah.
Or a movie.
There's nothing good about Donnie. Okay, all right. Number 3.
Donnie was really sweet. He was really kind and really thoughtful.
Okay.
When he sobered up, he got mean.
Okay. All right. Number 3.
That was Donnie.
Take your time.
Number four?
No, number three. We didn't get number
Who's
three.
Who's number three?
Number three was Sonny.
Sonny.
Oh, Sonny. Oh,
so you had Rick, Donnie, and Sonny. Sonny was really
sweet
and kind.
Yes, yeah,
unless
was sweet.
He was sober. And there was nothing good about Donnie.
These do sound like the names of guys you'd meet in a bar.
They
though.
Do. Okay, so number four?
Number four was Mitch.
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 What was good about Mitch?
It didn't last long, but, you know, he had a good personality, and, you know, and when he sobered up, you know. It was like he was mad at the world itself.
Who is the best lover? Who is the best lover?
The one I have now.
The one you have now. What's the fifth husband's name? What is his name?
Larry.
Larry. Yeah.
So Rick, Donnie, Sonny, Mitch, and Larry.
It sounds like the Five Stooges.
I love it. Nothing good about Donnie. And Larry's the best lover.
You're the best, Charlene. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, hon.
Love y'all so.
Love
you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Morning, I laughed from the time I listened to it till I saw.
You're awesome. You're a sweetheart. Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you, Charlene.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Hey, don't forget to send us a picture of your dog to bobandsherry.com and you could win up to $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend dog food. Sponsored by Dr. Marty's. Visit drmartypets.com/bob to get up to 54% off your first order. The details about the late Matthew Perry, you know, Chandler on Friends.
Yeah.
His will are starting to leak out. And I assume that what's leaking out is true. And the one that really jumped out at me was Matthew Perry's will stipulates that no child of his is entitled to an inheritance. But of course, he had no children. Or is it possible that he thinks maybe he... Like, what do you make of that?
He apparently cut a pretty wide swath.
So,
really?
So they're saying that it would be a child that was not recognized while he was alive, but after the death and the will...
If they came forward, yeah.
If they came forward, they would be denied? Is that what that is?
His will states that no child of his is entitled to an inheritance. So I guess hypothetically, you could come forward with DNA that proves that Matthew Perry was your father, but you have no claim on his estate.
You know what that sounds like? You know what that sounds like to me? That old cornball thing that, you know, one of your parents' friends would say. Someone says, "Hey, Ralph, how many kids do you have?" "Three that I know about." Oh, please stop it. Please. You cornball Casanova. That's the only thing I can think about is that there might be somebody. And, you know, these things do pop up sometimes. I had a friend who was killed in an automobile accident. He was not a close friend. But at the funeral, a woman showed up towing a child. And that was a child that he had out of wedlock. He did not marry her. And, boy, you should have seen the expression on his girlfriend's face. When that lady showed up with, and the child was like 6 or 8 years old. So I guess that's what he's trying to cover.
And I mean, okay. I just think it must be so painful to be the child of a parent who completely and utterly rejects you. I mean, I've had like, partial rejection from my parents, but not full rejection. So I'm not sure what full rejection
rejects you from the grave.
Yeah,
from
the
grave.
Why couldn't he stipulate that it would be if the DNA was 100% that it was a child that he fathered, that child would get X amount of money? Because what he doesn't want is like a stampede. But you know, DNA is pretty accurate.
Oh yeah,
you either is or you
ain't. It's way accurate. Yeah,
I think he should have done that.
Because this is not the kid's fault. This is, I mean,
exactly.
You've left some money here. You evidently may think you might have a kid here.
Does the will say that the information that you have? Does it say where the money is going?
There's all sorts of stuff that's coming out and I don't have all of it. That was the one that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
That, because he, you know, he'd never, I don't think he ever married either.
No.
And had no children. And then maybe a lawyer recommended that. You know, let's be fair for a second. Maybe this was not Matthew Perry. Maybe his lawyer was like, listen, you know, for the sake of your estate, because he has siblings and parents, we should probably go ahead and exclude any potential progeny that might challenge it. You know, maybe it wasn't Matthew Perry who did that.
Maybe.
I wonder if that's a boilerplate thing, especially in Hollywood. I have never heard of that before. I wonder if that's a thing with high-profile, high-flying celebrities to cover them.
So
I bet it is.
I'm looking here, and it says that John Perry, his father, and Suzanne Morrison are named as trust beneficiaries. And his half-sister, Caitlin Morrison, and Rachel Dunn are also listed as beneficiaries. So.
Yeah, maybe the lawyer was like, look, you know, we just have to put this out there. And Matthew Perry was like, I don't have any kids. And the lawyer's like, you know, not that you know about, LOLOL. And so they put it in there. And maybe it's in a lot of people's, a lot of famous or wealthy men's will. And we just have never stumbled across it before. You know?
I have a will, and it was never suggested by the lawyer.
No, that's because your brand money is well known. Chit Chat pays for everything. And so the lawyer was like, oh, yeah, whatever. We're just going to leave this one wide open.
Right.
I've never heard of this before.
I guess when it comes to his children, he wouldn't be there for you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
It's a reference to my least favorite opening song. Oh, my God.
The darkness.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
You guys, I can't stop thinking about this story I read about Labrador Retrievers. I love labs. I've never had one. Have any of you ever had a lab?
No, but I've never felt uneasy approaching one. Never.
I love them. I've never had a really big dog. My life has never really been a big dog person's life. I always had to travel for work and stuff, and a big dog needs things that I've not been able to give a big dog. But I adore labs, and I've read that 25% of labs, so that's 1 in 4 Labrador Retrievers, has a gene that hardwires them for obesity. And that's why it's really yes, that's why it's really difficult to keep your lab at a healthy weight. So here is what this genetic mutation does. It leaves the dog hungry all the time. They are constantly hungry, like they'd eat a throw pillow, like they're starving all the time, and their bodies burn fewer calories. I have never related to a dog.
I'm a lab. I am a lab. Now that explains it. I'm a lab. I got it.
Yeah. Think about how cruel that genetic mutation is. You're hungry all the time, and your body doesn't burn calories. Like, oh my God. That explains why labs can be so chonky. So, of course, you know, vets say there are 7 things to do if you have a Labrador Retriever. And I'm going to see, Lamar, if any of these would also apply to you, okay?
I got my pen ready.
Distract your lab or Lamar with toys and walks.
I don't want to walk too far, but yeah. Okay.
Depends what kind of a toy.
And your lab or Lamar is going to need a minimum of 2 walks per day. Which I think if you have a lab, you're probably already doing that, right? Because they need to get out. Yeah. The ship sailed on this next one for you, Lamar, because I have a feeling your mama did a real good job of feeding you as a youngster. Do not overfeed your lab or your Lamar as a puppy.
You can't
overfeed them then.
No. The food bowl was available for me 24 hours a day. She never picked my bowl up.
Did you have your name on it? Did it say Lamar?
Here's the next thing. Avoid giving your lab or Lamar leftovers. See, I think that one's a hard one for you too, right?
Yeah.
And
there is no leftovers.
This is really hard. Your lab, if you have a lab, you have to keep them on a diet or your Lamar for their whole life.
Oh, I had no idea. That is so cruel. You know what I heard? This kind of shocked me. And I like milk bones as a product because they're easy. They've been around. I've had several dogs, and they've always been, you know, part of the treat world for my dogs. So I was at the vet and getting a shot for Finn. And she said, this dog is in great shape. She said, I am seeing so many obese dogs these days. And I don't know what you're doing. And I said, well, you know, we walk a lot and, you know, I give him fresh food and blah, blah, blah. I said, the only thing I'm worried about, I probably give him a half dozen small milk bones a day. And they're smaller than the ones that are designed for his body. They're about half the size. And she said, well, that may be it if you're giving him that much, because we've recently discovered that giving a dog like one of those larger milk bones is the same thing as giving them a McDonald's cheeseburger.
No. No, my whole life milk bones have been a thing. No.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't know if she's right or wrong. I mean, she is, you know, a vet. So she probably knows quite a bit about this. And again, not everybody's giving the big one. And one of the big ones, maybe two, would be okay if the dog is getting exercise. But if you're just flipping them these treats, and it's probably not just milk bones, it's probably others too. Just keep in mind that those things are high in calories compared to like raw food.
That's one of the tips for keeping your Labrador and your Lamar trim is giving them only healthy treats. And also, when it comes to your lab and your Lamar, you want to focus on play, not food. So when Lamar says he's hungry, you go, let's go outside and throw the ball, big boy, instead of letting him have a snack. There you go.
I'm easily distracted.
You're going to live forever.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
About 50 people were injured on a LATAM Airlines flight in which a Boeing 787 Dreamliner suffered a technical problem that caused a strong shake, reportedly causing some passengers' heads to hit the ceiling. Whoa. The Boeing plane carrying 263 passengers at Auckland Airport, as scheduled, New Zealand Ambulance Service was called out. Ambulance crews assessed and treated approximately 50 patients, with one patient in a serious condition and the remainder in a moderate to minor condition. Most of the patients were discharged shortly after. Only one passenger and one cabin crew member required additional attention and no life-threatening risk. A passenger, Brian Jokett, said the ceiling's broken. It's busted from people's heads and bodies hitting it. Basically, neck braces were being put on people and guys' heads were being bandaged up for cuts while they were still flying and they were all bleeding. He said it was just crazy. He said, I felt the nosedive. I felt it take a nosedive. It felt like it was at the top of a roller coaster and then down and up again, down. It all happened in split seconds, he said. Boeing told news outlets that it is working to gather more information about the flight and will provide any support needed by our customers. I'm telling you, every day.
Who is in charge of quality control at Boeing? Let me quickly ask you this. Would you rather be on that flight? And by the way, is nobody buckling up anymore? Would you rather be on that flight with the plane heading toward the earth and you're flying up and hitting in the ceiling? Or would you rather be on that flight where the door blew off?
I think the door, because I like a good breeze. And I think the door coming off, I think I'd like that better.
That's not a good one. Yeah. What would you take, Sherry, Max, Doc? What would you take?
Can I take a covered wagon to California the next time? No, I don't know. I don't want any of these choices.
I'm going to go with Lamar with the open door.
Yeah.
Rather than, same.
the plane heading toward the Earth, I think, would be absolutely frightening.
Yeah,
what in the world is going on? I think it's just because we have so many planes in the air. So the likelihood of something happening, you know, is rising. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.